It's always sad to see those we love fall into sin, especially when they show such promise and have been blessed with great gifts and talents. Case in point, Samson. As a Nazarite, Samson had been set apart for the work of God, but his compromise with lust lured him away from the Lord and into the enemy's camp. Here's Pastor Steve with the story as found in the Old Testament book of Judges.
Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 15, verse 14. He says, "And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him." Now underline that, because that's kind of the key. "And the Spirit came upon him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became just broken and burnt with fire, and his bands loosened from off his hands." So his hands were tied by the Philistines. You remember that the Philistines came against Judah. He surrendered, and once again, as he was walking back, he allowed them to tie his hands with new cords. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God came upon him. And he found a new jawbone of a donkey and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therein. And Samson said, "With the jawbone of a donkey, heap upon heap, with the jawbone of a donkey have I slain thousands, and so the slain. But notice, I slayed 1,000. I did it. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called the place Rephaim Lehi. And he was sore athirst and called on the Lord, and thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant," and underline, "and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised," that would be the Philistines. "But God cleaved a hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout." So a miracle. But God, underline verse 19. He took that jawbone of a donkey, he hollowed a place, water therefore came out, and when he had drunk, the Spirit came again, and he revived, wherefore he called the name of that place Ehakko, which is Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. Now, a couple things that stand out to me, and then we're going to kind of jump into the story, is notice he says, "I did it. I slayed the thousands," in verse 16. But then it said that he did something kind of foolishly. He says once again, "Did you bring me here to die? Are you not going to help me?" But then it says in verse 19, but God began to work in his life. And then if you notice in chapter 16, verse 1, "Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went into her." And so we find the downfall of Samson once again. He did good, then he did bad, and then he was revived, and then finally after a time of judging Israel towards the very end of his life, one day he just got up, went to see a harlot. When he was done with her, he went and met Delilah, and you know the story. We'll pick that up next week. And so I've entitled the study tonight, very simply, "Say Goodbye to Samson." Say goodbye to Samson. And I think a lot of times that we need to learn to do the very same thing. We say goodbye to the work of the flesh. And maybe this year has been a year that has been kind of up and down, all over the place, in fellowship, out of fellowship, hanging out with the Lord, not doing so well with the Lord. Walking in the Spirit, walking in the flesh. Being led by the Spirit of God, taking things into your own hands. And you've seen some of the damage that has been done. And you see some of the things as you kind of look back in a very godly way, realizing that you could have built relationships. Things could have gone better. The marriage, the single life, the dating, every relationship could have been better. And we could have loved a little bit more. And we could have given a little bit more. And when you look back, oftentimes, we see the selfishness of our life. And I think that sometimes God, in His Word, lays it out so crystal clear to help us, not to condemn us. And when we look over his life, we realize there are certain things we do not want to do. Because towards the very end of his life, the Bible says that he jumped up and he knew not that the Spirit of God had departed. And the reason why is because he had violated God. And maybe this is a year, as you look back, you see some of those violations that you have done that no one else knows. You kind of twisted or bent or kind of gone down a road that you shouldn't have. Or maybe you've gone backwards just a little bit. When in all reality, God has been calling you to a deeper, more committed life to him. Not to the church, but to him. And so when I look at Samson and begin to realize he made some major, major mistakes in his life. He chose to do certain things the wrong way. And the number one thing that he did that I'm convinced the Church of Jesus Christ does all the time is they do not see God in their life. They think they're doing it. I have built this, or I have done that, or I have done this. And they see, America sees what they have done. But it's God who watches the city. And it's God who keeps a country safe. And it's God who keeps a people on track. And it's God that's kept me and you together. And it was God that sent the lion to protect Samson from going into the vineyard. But then it was God that sent the Spirit to give him the strength to overcome the lion. In other words, no matter where you look at this guy, it was the Spirit of God seeking to help Samson out of the mess he got himself into. And when I look back, I have to confess that God has been faithful, that God has done certain things that have been so neat, that he has redeemed and he has rebuilt and he has solidified certain things. And so when we look at his life, next week he's going to fade out of the picture. He's going to be killed. He's going to pull the temple down. He's going to kill 3,000. And what he did at the very end was more than he did in his own lifetime. But the one thing that Samson would never do, listen, he would never yield his life to what he knew God wanted him to do. And secondly, he would never yield his life to the Spirit of God speaking to him. In other words, he resisted the voice of God. He ran from the commandments of God, and he constantly took things into his own hands. And I think this year, we need to look what Samson did, and we need to make a covenant that we want to go a different way. We don't want to live in the flesh. We don't want to destroy relationships. We want to build relationships. And one of the things that's hard, and probably the key to the whole study tonight, it's hard for strong people to stay humble. And humility brings the strength. And when you can bring humility and strength together, God will use you for the rest of your life. But the moment you begin to think it's you, God is going to begin to do things in your life that you can't believe. And it was Jonah that had an attitude, but it was God that sent the worm to get his attention. And so we read here in verse 19, but God, and that's the key, I think, more than anything else, it's a year that God has stretched us. It's a year that God has worked in our life. But out of it all, and here's the key, out of it all, we need to leave it in God's hands. And we all need to say, it was God's faithfulness that got us through. And it was the goodness of God that gave us the ability to grow in spite of who we are. And it's always been that way. You remember there in the very beginning, it said that the world was without form and void, but God, by his Spirit, brought life. And so when there's chaos and there's void, once again, it's the Spirit of God that brings order and consistency within our life. And you remember when Abimelech was lied to by Abraham. Abraham was now making a lie about his wife, that she was his sister. Abimelech took her. He was now going to sleep with this woman named Sarah, and God woke him up. And the Bible says, but God stopped Abimelech. It's always God stopping man from doing wrong things and trying to redeem his saints to do the right things. It was the same with Joseph. He was sold into bondage. But then Joseph stood before the people, his own brothers, 11 of them, and he said, "You thought to do me evil, but God sought to do me good. And it was God that brought me down to Egypt so I would be able to feed the family for the rest of their life. It was God." And it was Paul that was thrown into prison, but it was God that came and stood by him that night. And you remember the Bible says we were lost in sin, alienated from God, but God in his riches has saved us by his grace. And so it's never who I am. And so I need to look back and see some of the failures in my life, some of the great things in my life. But overall, it has been God's faithfulness again in my life. But this year, I believe that I need to give God more honor and more praise and more adoration for what he's done in and through our life. And that's what we want to take a look at in an interesting way. Three things I want to share with you tonight. Three things for you to stick in your mind and your heart, very simply. And we'll look at just simply chapter 13, 14, and 15. So in chapter 13, the number one rule that we learned was he had to stop running. In other words, he was running away from the call of God upon his life, Samson. And I think that when we look back this last year, the number one thing that we have done is we have run away from responsibility. It might be in the home, it might be in business, it might be in responsibility of how we do things or how we do things ethically or how the standard we have in our life. But we have a tendency as people to run away from the things that God is calling us to do. And God will say to you, it's time for you to love in a different way, unconditional love. It's time for you to be forgiving, or it's time for you to let go of your pride, or it's time for you to accept the responsibility or to repent. And what we do is we run and we don't face reality. Here we find in chapter 13 that Samson had some things going for him in a very powerful way. Number one, his birth was unique. You remember it was the angel that came to mom and dad and said, "You're going to have a child. And this child is going to be special. He is going to be groomed to be the servant of the Almighty God. He's going to be a Nazarite. And he's going to be separate. He's going to have certain things that he cannot do." And the angel spoke to his mother and said, "It's going to start with you." She also accepted that. So she did not violate her pregnancy with wine or touching dead things or allowing certain things into her life. In other words, she sanctified herself for this birth. So we find that, first of all, he had a very unique birth and very unique parents. Both of them were really committed to the Lord. But he also had a very unique lifestyle. He understood that God had called him to separation. He understood that God had challenged him and demanded him that he would be sanctified, set apart for something very special within his life. And not only that, but we also realize that he had a unique strength. So he had a unique birth. He had unique strength that he was able to take a lion and rip that lion apart. He was able to chase 300 foxes and catch them and tie their tails together. He was able to take 1,000 men and slew them and kill them and stack their bodies. He was able to take the gates of the city and put them on his back and walk 20 miles and stick them on the top of a hill out of despite. And he was able to take these two pillars and pull them down and to destroy 3,000 people. The man was gifted. And he knew it. He knew the call of God upon his life. His mother, his father, taught him. The Spirit of God came upon him. God showed him over and over and over again about what God wanted to do. And God vindicated his life and God gave him the ability to do supernatural things. But he didn't want it. And I think sometimes that's where we are. God has spoken to you for years about the things He wants to do in your life. And all He's asking you to do is to be separate and sanctified and holy before Him. In other words, to build a relationship, to have something between you and God, which is far greater than anything you could ever enjoy in this earth. But somehow the things of this world pull us. And we think, what are we going to have to give up? And we're going to be committed. And we're going to have this low life. And we're going to have to do these things. And you're missing the point. If God Himself is calling you, if God Himself is calling you from that heavenly calling, then that calling is the most important gift in your whole life. And I'd rather have you in the will of God doing trash pickup rather than being a billionaire out of God's will and being just wiped out spiritually in your life. Now, you might want to be a billionaire, but it might take your heart away from God. What is God's will for your life? What is God speaking to you? And there's no doubt that God has said certain things. Hey, get involved. Pray for people. Reach out. I'm just kind of busy. Listen, He knew what God wanted. He saw the giftings in His life. He witnessed the power of God upon His life. But when it came down to the nitty-gritty, He refused to surrender. In other words, He dishonored God. And not only did He dishonor God, He disgraced His parents. They raised Him in a way that would be pleasing to the Lord, but He disgraced His parents. And He defiled His purity. He flirted with the enemy, went after the women. He knew that he should not be in the Philistine country. He knew that he shouldn't be messing with them, but he went anyway. He knew he shouldn't be in the vineyard. He went down. In other words, he constantly refused to give God what he wanted. And I think this year, my challenge for you is you got to stop running and start giving God what he wants. Now, I don't know what he wants, but I'm saying that the more you run, the more miserable you're going to be. And God has a purpose and a plan in your life. And God wants to do wonderful things in you and through you. But He cannot use something that is unyielded and unsanctified for Him. And you've heard His voice saying to you, don't go there. Get out of there. Get away. You have no business being with this person. Change your attitude. Deal with your humility or your pride. And yet, we don't listen to what God is saying. We run away from what God is saying. He knew. I know what God wants. And I'll tell you what, I know what God wants for you. That you would present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. This is your reasonable service. He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what is right. Humble yourself before God. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? Abide in me and I in you. In other words, we know what God wants. Have we given that to Him? Well, we've been doing this and taking care of the building program and doing the business and taking care of the marriage. Have you done what God has asked you to do? That is the number one question in your life. And if you say no, then you're running from meeting God head on. Well, God might change my life. Yes, He will. And God might have me do something. Yes, He will. But let me tell you, the worst thing that can happen in your life is you get your way and God will give you leanness of soul because you don't know what's best for you. God knows. And so God gave him everything, but he didn't yield his life, and finally we find that his whole power was diluted. In other words, here's a man that ran from the calling of God and ended up with a harlot. Why did he end up with a harlot? He ran from God. Why was he chasing the foxes? He ran from God. Why was he in the Philistine camp trying to marry a woman? He ran from God. Why was he so angry? He ran from God. Why is this guy telling Delilah the secret of God in his life? Because he ran from God. And when you run from God, everything falls apart in your life. That's chapter 13. And so my prayer this year is no more running. It's time just to stop and say, Lord, whatever you want. Whatever you want me to do, if it's time to go down to Mexico, if it's time for me to share with my neighbor, if it's time for me to change my behavior, I'm telling you, there's some exciting things happening. Maybe it's time for you just to learn how to turn off the television and sit by the fire and talk to your wife. I don't want to do that. She's going to tell me everything wrong with me. Well, good. Someone has to. And no one else lives with you. She lives with you. She knows you. She speaks the truth. No, she doesn't. She speaks the truth. Why would she want to lie to you? Well, she don't like me. Well, why doesn't she like you? Because I lie all the time. Well, listen. Ask God to give you the strength to sit there and take it. I don't have to take it. No, but humility would. Jesus hung upon the cross. He took it. If he took it, you can't take it. You're pretty prideful. You see, you run from God, and you're miserable. You're running here, running there, and you know what God wants. You run away from your financial responsibilities of giving to the church. You justify it and say that you don't have enough, and you're broke. That's exactly what the Bible says. You hold back, and you have holes in your pocket. You give, and you have more than you can keep. I don't believe it. I know. It's faith. It has nothing to do with giving. It has everything to do with trusting God with all your heart. How does God start teaching you how to trust Him? With something tangible in your life. Something that you have to sacrifice. If you can't sacrifice your money, you're not going to sacrifice your time. You're not going to sacrifice your heart. You're not going to sacrifice anything. Christ gave it all. I need to stop running, face the music, look at the situation, and say, God, you make me the man you want this year in my life. I'm not going to blame the staff. I'm not going to blame the pastor. I'm not going to blame the church. I'm not going to blame my ex-wife. I'm not going to blame the job. I'm not going to blame the country. I'm not even going to blame Iraq. I'm going to blame me because I haven't been there. Secondly, I find in chapter 14, second problem he had, and the second thing I want to help you with this evening, number one, I don't want you to run this year from what God wants in your life. But number two, I don't want you to resist what God has in your life. In other words, Samson ran from the calling of God. But number two, Samson resisted the authority of God in his life. Let me say that again. Samson resisted the authority of God in his life. In other words, he rejected God's authority. He didn't like authority. He hated authority. He hated to be told what to do. Does that sound familiar? My dumb teachers, they gave me an F. Well, why did they give you an F? You deserve an F. That's why they gave you an F. No, it's my dumb teachers. No, you're dumb. Because you haven't figured it out. In other words, we hate authority. Don't tell me how to do it. I ain't going to do it. What do you mean you're not going to do it? You can't tell me nothing. You're right. But we don't yield to authority. We don't surrender. We have a chip on our shoulder. My wife tells me something. I don't like the way she tells me it. Well, how's she supposed to say it? The Bible says, submit one to another in the fear of God. Submitting one to another, in other words, we hate authority. We know where to clock out. We don't clock out. We know where to check in. We don't check in. We know where to call and tell somebody we're going to be late. We don't do it. In other words, we know we should do 55. What do? 55. We do 75. We know. We just like breaking things. And so all of a sudden, we find him resisting authority. Let me tell you how it worked in chapter 14. You remember very simply, God told him what to do and what not to do. He didn't listen. God told him to separate himself unto the Lord. He was hanging out in the Philistine country. And God told him not to go into the vineyard. He was hanging out in the vineyard. God told him not to touch anything dead. He was reaching his hand inside of a dead lion. God told him not to touch anything dead. He picked up the jawbone of a donkey. In other words, you couldn't tell him anything. He had his own mind. You think, well, that's tough. That's strong. That's neat. That's what America's made of. That's stupid. You are fighting against God. There's a time to be strong. There's a time to be humble. There's a time to stand. There's a time to yield. There's a time to stand up and speak. There's a time to be silent. And when God speaks, we listen. You don't challenge God's authority. And when all of a sudden you feel that you have to challenge every bit of its authority, you didn't ask me right. You didn't smile when you asked me. You didn't say, please. Time out. Jesus took the sins of the world. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. I think the greatest curse of this generation is we resist and hate authority. And so we fight. You have to read your Bible. I don't want to read it. You have to go to church. I don't want to go to church. You got to give. I don't want to give. Well, what do you want to do? I want to drink and have a beer. Well, then go do that. But if you're going to love the Lord with all your heart, we're going to go God's way. It's not my authority. It's not your authority. It's God's authority. What does he say in the Bible? You say this, Pastor Steve. No. This is what God says. We're to humble ourselves and yield and go God's way, but we resist. How we love to resist. And all of a sudden, the one thing we like the most is our dogs because they don't resist us. Cats, we hate them because they resist. Dog will always come. Wonderful thing God made in a dog. And he not only rejected God's commandments by refusing God's law, but he rejected the Spirit. The Spirit was saying to him, don't go, stay back. He wouldn't listen. The Spirit had to send a lion to get his attention. But also he rejected his mom and dad's commandment. Son, you shouldn't be down in Timnath. You don't need to marry. She's a Philistine. Isn't there anything here? Get this woman for me. Listen to him. Get this woman for me. You see, he's crazy. And when you run from God, you begin to demand. You expect. You have to have. You see, a Christian, when he is submitted to God, he knows that God will give the revenge and God will do the work. And all he needs to do is rest in the kingdom of God. And so not only was he resisting, but also he resisted the people of God. There was no leadership in his life. He never took them to war. He never led them. In other words, here was a guy that his whole life was resisting, and you see no fruit except revenge. And I think that sometimes we come out of the world, we get saved, and we've given this up to God, and we got a little chip right here. You go where God's leading, and you enjoy what God's doing, but God hasn't called you to resist and to get angry and to fight and to challenge and to be aggressive and to tell your kids and tell your wife and tell your day, get this and get that. And man, I tell you, all of a sudden it sounds like the world. Maybe you've been running. And maybe you look back and you realize, you know, maybe I've resisted. Maybe I've fought over certain things I shouldn't. But let me tell you what happens just between me and you. When you resist God's authority, you go down. And you remember in this chapter 14, he went down to Timnath. And the word down is in that verse, in verse 1. He went down. He went down to see this woman. And then it says in chapter 14, he went down into the vineyard. Interesting. And then it says in chapter 14, he went down to a feast. His wedding feast. He was going down. And then it says that he went down in anger. In other words, the whole chapter is about who? Samson doing what? Going down. Why? Because he's resisting authority. And when I resist my devotions, and when I resist worshiping the Lord, and when I resist loving people, I am going what? Down. Oh, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. Because you're fighting against God. Why? Because you're running. Why? Because you will not yield your life to the things of God. And so we find that he rejected and he went down. He was in the wrong place. He was down in Timnath. But not only was he in the wrong place, he was with the wrong people. He was hanging out with the Philistines, doing his wedding. A wedding that if he would have got married, his ministry would have ended. Therefore, God had to make sure he didn't get married. You say, that's terrible. It's wonderful. When God challenges you and protects you and stops you, you say, well, I disagree. Would you let a child, a two-year-old, play with a razor blade? No. Don't be silly, Pastor Steve. And sometimes God doesn't give you things because you're going to hurt yourself. And so God takes them away and you throw the rattle and begin to move the crib and you begin to throw your tantrum and it's just like a child. And Paul says we're no longer children. We ought to be grown up. You see, grown up people, they don't run. They face their problems. And number two, they don't resist. They could be wrong. Well, if I want God's best, I'm going to do what God tells me to. And I'm not going to resist. I'm not going to go my way. And the Bible says that he went down and he said, you get me that woman. I want that woman for my pleasure. Listen, I want my pleasure. You're going down. And finally, we find that not only did he go down to Timnath, he went down to the vineyard. And in the vineyard, he had to kill that lion. But you know what's sad, folks? After he killed that lion, you remember the story. A few days later, he went back to that lion. He wanted to see that lion. He wanted to look at that lion. He wanted to reach his hand inside and grab that honey. Sometimes we sin. And we go back and do it again. And we can't stay away from it. And it draws us in. It's sweet, but it's death. It's honey in the carcass. And he's now touching. You see, he started by looking. And then he was talking to that woman. And then he was going to marry. And now he's in the vineyard. Now he's killing an animal. Now he's touching the animal. He's going down. Why? He ran. He's resisting. There's a time to run. You flee from certain situations. There's a time to resist. And Satan will flee. But you don't resist against God. And you don't run against God. And then we find also the third thing. We find very simply, we have to stop reacting. We have to stop reacting. And I see that in chapter 15 in a wonderful way. He had to stop running in chapter 13. He needed to stop resisting in chapter 14. And then in chapter 15, he needed to stop reacting. And when I look back, I realize that sometimes we definitely react when we ought not to be reacting. And I find very simply, he rejected God's way. And so in chapter 13, he rejected God's call. In chapter 14, he rejected God's authority. But in chapter 15, this is the key, he rejected God's ways. And God has given you a way, and God's given me a way, but I disagree with that way. He says, you are to love. I don't want to love, I hate. And you are to forgive. I don't want to. I got bitterness in my heart. And you are to give. No way. They owe me. Listen to you. No one owes you anything. Jesus paid for all your sins. I've been running. I've been resisting. And now I'm reacting. And it's a sad thing when you find brothers and sisters reacting. Well, he said this and she said that and he felt that and they felt this and they didn't do that and they didn't do this. And all of a sudden, Satan has me reacting and not worshiping. Excited, jumping, saying things, doing things that have not been spirit-led. And we get tense and we get excited and things don't go right and we see things beginning to fall apart, but a spirit-filled man and woman would just act different. They would go God's way. They would ask for the peace of God to be upon their life, and they would respond like Christ. And if Christ would respond that way to me, man, I'd be a mess. And that's why there's so many messes in the church, because of how we react. Someone has to stop and say, you know something? If I don't run, and I don't resist the Spirit of God, that I don't really have to react. Because I want to make sure I do it God's way. And so we find in chapter 15, he rejected God's way and he was out of control. And you kind of remember, let me refresh your mind. He became so angry at the wedding that he left. And because he left, the father of the bride got even with Samson and gave Samson's wife to the best man. Well, that kind of really ticked off Samson. So Samson, in revenge, goes out and burns the fields of the Philistines. You remember? He takes the 300 foxes, ties their tails together. Animal life back then would be pretty upset with him. Sets the fields on fire and just destroys them. The Philistines can't believe he did this. So the Philistines react. They go and find Samson's wife-to-be, who's now married, and they burn her alive. Well, Samson's now real upset. So Samson goes out and finds a bunch of guys and just wipes them out, kills them. When all of a sudden the Philistine army finds this out, they go into Judah and they begin to threaten Judah. And when Samson finds out, he now allows them to tie his hands and then he kills 1,000 of them. And now they're really upset. And so they bribe this woman, Delilah. And all of a sudden, Delilah hands Samson over and they pluck his eyes out. And that really bums Samson out because now he can't see, so he pulls down the temple. I mean, the whole chapter is about, you did this, I'm going to do that. You did this to me, I'm going to really do that. I'm going to get even. I'm going to make your life miserable. I'm not going to look at you, smile at you, look at you, think about you. I'm going to let you know I can destroy you with my mind. And so you have marriages. They're living together, but there's no love. You have staff serving together. They don't love each other. You have congregations hanging out. Got to get out of here. I don't want to see nobody. You might get married. Well, I'm married already. Don't want to do that. In other words, there is such a tension. And I just want to share with you. I think the tension is because I'm running from God. And when you find God's peace and find God's will, no matter what happens, you can do it. God will give you the strength. But like Samson, even in this 15th chapter, he says, I slew the thousands. He didn't do nothing. He never did anything. All he ever did was mess things up. It was God that gave him the power. It was God that gave him the supernatural ability. And not once did he ever give God the credit. And finally, when he became thirsty, he challenges God. You never helped me at all. And in God's kindness, God gave him water. And I just want to say that no matter how you feel about God, he's always been there for you. He has listened. He has put up. He has helped you. He has supported you. He has watched over you. He has protected you. He's kept you together all these years. And there's no reason to run from his loving touch. And there's no reason for us to resist his calling. And there's no reason for us to react out of anger. And that's why we have to say goodbye to Samson, a man of the flesh. And this year is the year, I believe, that the Spirit of God is going to come upon our church, upon this country, and God's going to do work. But God is looking for men and women who will stop running, they will stop resisting, and they will stop reacting. And when God has that, it's going to be a wonderful day. What do I do? Well, you might just want to stop and see what God has for you. I think it'll blow your mind. I think it's better than anything you're doing now in your whole life. And secondly, you can resist. But I think you want the power in you and around you and through you, because I think you want to resist sin and Satan and the devil. I don't think you really want to resist God. I mean, he's on your side. You want him on your side. And about this thing reacting, it gets a lot of people put in prison. It ruins a lot of businesses. Destroys a lot of marriages. It's just not worth it. This year, no more running. No more fighting. And no more challenging. Let's yield to what God wants. Amen.